One of the things that's transpired this year is that Holy Ghost more having me preach in a worship service, and in particular bring an impartation of strength. And for the times we're living in, that's what's needed. Sometimes you have to go with the flow of what's needed, what God wants to do. But that's really been needed in this time because of the work of the Spirit of Fear. And I've been doing that, and I'm going to continue doing that. But with that being said, it's very, very important that we learn to draw upon the presence of God in worship. That you come very purposed to do that. We're not just singing songs. I'm declaring us. I'm not rebuking us or anything, but I'm declaring here. We're not just coming to sing songs. We're coming to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Psalm 22, verse 3, that he inhabits the praise of his people. If we'll come and bring him praise and just pour our whole heart out to him, he'll manifest his presence, whereby we can draw by faith on peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach a shorter message. Now, you that know me know I love to teach, but that's what we're doing at 9:30. It's teaching time or Bible study. It's not first service, second service. Don't say that in my presence anyway. It's Bible study time, which the body of Christ needs that, and then worship service, where I have been, and I'm feeling, just to continue more along this line, is preaching to bring an impartation. And it's not the same thing. Anyway, I want to pick up where I was, Psalm 84. I'm going to preach with God's help a shorter message than what I normally do. And then we're going to go into more of a just all-out worship. Because sometimes some of the things that we would hear really lend itself to really entering in with all of our heart. Psalm 84, this will be a part two to this. I was sharing from here last week. I'm not going to review all of it. How amiable, verse 1, or how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And this is speaking to the fact that they were commanded, Israel was commanded three times a year to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, and a Feast of Harvest, which was 7 months later, when after the harvest they were to bring an offering to the Lord, and they were to come before him once again and be thankful. Now, the harvest, the Feast of Tabernacles, not yet fulfilled. Passover and Pentecost have been fulfilled already. And that's because the harvest of souls, the great end time harvest, has not yet happened yet, but it's going to, and we're right on the edge of it. Now, when you're blessed, there's a principle here. When you're blessed, you need to return and give thanks and praise to God, or you will lose appreciation for what he's given you, and you'll exalt the blessing above the one who gave it to you. Abraham was blessed by a miracle with his son Isaac. God said, "Give him back to me." And it was in the intent and the gesture of that he didn't actually have to die. But Abraham did it believing he would be raised up. God's blessed us, and we are commanded to present ourselves to him, a living sacrifice, an offering to him, and have our mind renewed with the word of God so we can do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, the psalmist here is yearning for that time where he's coming before the Lord for the feast, just to be in the very closest he can be to the presence of God that was manifest at the temple. And David had ordained for the praisers, the worshipers, all to be assembled 24/7, bringing praise before God. And at the Ark of the Covenant was where the very greatest strength of the presence of God was manifest, and they had to go there. But for us, we're the place, we're the church, we're the tabernacle, the temple of God, where he lives. So he manifests his presence in us, but then the church corporately It is the tabernacle of God, or the tent. And as we come together in faith and in love and in hope, we come and worship him. We can expect for his presence to be even greater. And we should come with such expectation to come to your local church and worship him with all of your heart, presenting the very best that you have, your heart, you, and all of your praises, all of your heart to him, with full expectation of his ministry to your spirit. Spirit, soul, and body, actually, I should say. Hallelujah. So he longed for that. Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 were all psalms. At the heading of those psalms that say a song of degrees, or they were to be sung while they were making the journey to Jerusalem, which is where the temple was. So those are all useful. If you study them, you can see the picture of really what should be in our mind coming to worship the Lord. He says, yea, the sparrow has found a house, a swallow, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will still be praising thee. Selah. So there's a pause. Think about this. The psalmist is really saying, hey, those people who are assigned at their job is to come and lead worship at the temple. Wow, those guys are really blessed. I'm just paraphrasing this, my own words here. Wow, they are really blessed. They're continuing in the presence of God. I'm yearning for that 3 trips a year, that whichever the next one was here. I'm yearning for that trip to go to Jerusalem and be as close to the presence of God as I can, because there's nothing like that. Blessed are those people. You know what? Your destiny's heaven. We will have, we'll be like that, like the ones who were the lead worshipers right at the temple, only in a greater way, because it'll be the fullness of the manifestation of his presence forever and ever. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain fills the pools. Blessed is a man who has strength, in whose heart is the journey. Where the word ways is used, it's another word used for journey, who have the journey in their heart. Now, for them, they had in their heart, oh, it was a glorious thing, the Lord's commandment given in Deuteronomy 16, to go to Jerusalem during Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Harvest, and bring an offering. They were not to come empty-handed, to bring an offering to the Lord, rejoicing in the fact that the Passover lamb is the picture of our redemption of Jesus Christ, that the Feast of Weeks, which would be like the first fruits, a picture of the Holy Spirit, which was later fulfilled, being given to us, and then the harvest, which ultimately would be the harvest of souls that would stand in heaven throughout all eternity. And for that reason, Jesus died, that there'd be a family of God in heaven forever and ever praising him. Blessed are those who are strong and have this in their heart. We need to have the heart that we are on a journey. God has your life on this earth as a journey. That's the picture there. The ultimate end, as it was for the psalmist, was the presence of God. For us, it's the presence of God in heaven. That's the end of your journey. We can look forward to that. We need to look forward to that. Otherwise, you get so caught up on what you're going through. The Valley of Baca was a dry, arid wilderness of a valley. It was nothing there. They had to pass through that. Jerusalem was in the south. Most of the people were traveling down from the north, and they passed through the Valley of Baca. On your journey, there are some dry desert places. There are some times in your life, and no one's exempt from this. There's going to be some dry times, some times that are a test and a trial. And even in Peter, it calls it a fiery trial. It would be very, very much a test. It's very dangerous for people not to realize this and think that because you're a Christian, everything should just always go smooth and nice. That's not reality, nor is it scriptural. There's going to be tests. But in those tests, your faith and your love are proven out and the testimony of the Lord is established. So it speaks of us having strength of God and the heart for the journey. We pass through that valley and you make it a well. You bring life to a dry place. You know, one of the things they learned to do out in California was irrigation. And you had the mountains and the snows on the mountains and the water in the mountains. And you had the Big Valley. I remember as a kid, there was a Western program called the Big Valley. It's California. And in a dry, arid valley, because what people don't realize, much of the Western U.S. is desert. I remember going to Colorado, Western Colorado, and they told me, this is called high desert. It's like 5,000 feet, high desert. They don't get much snow because there's mountains on either side. The rain and all that doesn't hit where these particular brothers lived. It's high desert, or you have like Nevada, California. It's largely desert. I remember when Jesse was in the Army and out in Arizona, and he come back here on leave. He says, wow, I forgot how green Pennsylvania is. Everything's green. Out there, everything's brown. Well, that's what happens when there's a lack of water. It's things get brown, dry up, and die. Now, there are certain plants can grow in a place like that, but for the most part, there's not much happening where there's no water. And he's saying those who have the strength of the Lord and the journey in their heart, they make that dry place a well, or waters flowing from you, rivers of living water, bringing life to the very place you're passing through. We're passing through this earth. It's as a dry desert. Again, back to California, I didn't finish my thought. The irrigation from the water from the mountains, the irrigation coming down, and a lot of our food's grown out in the big valley there where it's desert, but it's irrigated. And as irrigation would be coming from the mountains down to the valley in California, so it is with us passing through the valley of this earth, or the people of this earth, who without the Spirit of God, their life's very dry. It bears no fruit. There's no life. But if the water can flow, if the irrigation's there, then life can flow. We make it a well. We're springs of water. That the word well, there's springs of water. It comes out from you. And Jesus spoke of that in John chapter 7. That out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. Now, if we don't have the strength and a heart for the journey, we'll resent going through the valley of Baca. We'll be complaining and murmuring. I'm just going to be over. If that's you, repent. You don't want to be walking around like that. We want to be that river of life carrying joy and peace, where someone would say, hey, you have something that I want. What is it? You have something I've been looking for. Did you ever have someone ask you that? I remember searching before I got saved and searching for actually the way, the truth, and the life. And I remember coming out of high school, working on a construction site. There's probably like 12 guys on our crew. Half were alcoholics, half were drug addicts, and there was one Christian. And as soon as I looked in his eyes, I knew he had something that I didn't have that I was looking for. So we would talk at lunchtime, and eventually I got saved. But does someone see life in you? They should. They should see life in us. Otherwise, if we're just the same as them, why are they going to ask you about the way? But when they see there's life, and some people will test it. They might prick at you or prod you a little bit just to see if this is for real. Don't misunderstand that type of action. Some people, they're testing because they want to know, if I'm going to commit to this Jesus this guy's talking about, I want to know it's real. He's real. This peace is real. It's not some phony thing. People will tend to accuse you right away. Well, that must be, you're faking something. You're making something up. I remember one brother saying how at his workplace, people would say, are you on drugs? What drugs are you on? I want some of those drugs, because he had the joy of the Lord. Well, we pass through the dry places. We need to stay strong in the Lord as we go through the dry places in life and allow the life of God to flow out, making it a well, even unto rain that would fill the pools, or that word means cover with blessing. The word fill means to cover. The word pools here, why they translate it that way, I don't know. But it means to cover it with blessing. To cover it for blessing. You know, if you work somewhere, it's to your advantage if they're blessed. If the company makes no money, guess what? They shut down and you're looking for a new job. It amazes me. Some people can't grasp this. You know, that they talk as though the company is their enemy. No, you bring blessing to it. There could be a business, and let's just say there's a small business and they have 8 employees, and you're the only believer and you're a tither, and you're speaking words of blessing and life, expecting to be blessed because you're a doer of the word, and you're speaking that that business might be blessed because you're there. Now, we start multiplying this in a nation. A nation can be blessed. We're passing through, watering what's around us, covering it with blessing. They, such people like this, go from strength to strength. Strength to strength. We're getting stronger. Janie Grine had that awesome song, Stronger Than Before. And God gave it to her before the towers came down. And she went up there, and as were others doing at the time, street ministry right there in New York City where all this happened. And she was up there every day for I don't know how long. And she would always sing, Stronger Than Before, Stronger Than Before, this song. That we're going to be stronger than before. And we should be stronger than before. The strongest days of your life shouldn't be 30 years ago. It should be today. Because we're going from strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory. Your body might slow down a little. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in your spirit, stronger than before, more bold, more strong to continue on to the end. Hallelujah. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appearing before God. The word appeareth is the word for to see with the eyes. And before is actually a word that's mostly translated to or toward. So what it's saying here, they go from strength to strength as their eyes are on the Lord. As they are looking toward God. When you go through tough times, you must be looking forward, your eyes to God. One of the great Bible pictures of this is the children of Israel being supernaturally and miraculously brought out of Egypt and coming into the promised land. But they had to pass through a wilderness, dry place. So dry where God had to have water come out from a rock miraculously. But they had to keep their eyes on what they were going to and not what they're going through. When your eyes are on what you're going through, you will become a complainer, murmurer and complainer. When you get into that mode, nothing's ever good enough. We need to be a people who have eyes of seeing what is there that's good and being thankful for it. Now, as Christians, we can always be thanking God because the work of Jesus Christ provided all we would ever need. It's all there for us. But we need to keep our eyes on Him. All that being said, I want to jump forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll start at verse 13. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing something. You know, you should speak based on what you know to be true. We speak knowing something that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake. And Paul was referencing the things he went through. We're going to benefit them. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, The inward man's renewed day by day, or strengthened. They that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is that divine process of exchange where your weakness is given to the Lord. His strength comes to you. It's renewed. In the natural, you eat some food, you go to bed, your body strengthening itself as you sleep. You wake up refreshed, ready to go to work. That's a simplistic version of our health lesson for the day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, when you have pain, time can seem endless. But the reality is our time on this earth is like, but for a moment. It's so quick. Pop your 91. Where did it go, right? How many times have you said that? If you had a Benjamin for every time you probably said that. Your life goes so fast. When you're in pain, it can seem to drag. When you're I remember working in a foundry, sorting out the bad fittings, picking them out to come down a conveyor belt. And just to torture us, they had this big old clock right in front of me. And three minutes would go by. I'm trying not to look at the clock, and it seemed like an hour just went by. I look up, it's only 3 minutes. I was doing something I didn't really like doing. There was no joy in it, just a paycheck. And it seemed like an endless time. When you're going through pain, it can seem to really drag out. But the reality is, the sorrow, the grief, the pain, the dry times, it's just for a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, you can't stop here. It's while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And this relates to, and I believe Paul got this out from Psalm 84, that as they're looking to God, going through that dry place will work for the glory of God, because as our eyes are on Him, and as we know, we believe, and we speak, as He said in verse 13, we bring forth the release of the life of God to everything around us. That's what needs to be in our heart. Again, Psalm 84, verse was it 4 or 5 there? Those whose strength is in Him and have the ways of God in their heart, or the journey in our heart. If you're looking at life more about what you're going to have in this life and looking more of what you're going through, again, you'll step outside of faith and be into the realm of complaining a lot, which is undermining any faith you do release. But as we keep our eyes on Him, knowing that Jesus Christ conquered sin, death, and the devil. He is raised up, and I'm raised up with Him. As we keep our eyes on the unseen things, things we don't see with these eyes, that Jesus as high priest represents your prayers. He represents your confession. He represents your praises to God. And it's guaranteed. He's the guarantee. As it says in Hebrews 7:25, the guarantee of the new covenant. As we keep our eyes on Him, we will keep moving through in faith, through everything in this life, unto the end game here. Now, as we would go on in chapter 5, He speaks about the yearning to be clothed with the glory of God, to have that heavenly body. And back at chapter 5, verse 10, He speaks of all of us standing before the judgment seat of God and yearning to be in the very presence of God in heaven. That corresponds to Psalm 84 with the yearning to go to Jerusalem and to worship. The yearning of our hearts should be heaven, heaven, heaven. And our eyes on all of the Father's love, the work of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the eternal things of God. And by that, the glory of God is going to come out from our life. God will be glorified while we're walking through this earth. I remember the story somewhat. I don't remember all the details, but there was a missionary in Colombia who, this was some years ago. I think the book's called Bruchko. His name, Bruce Olson, I think. And he was kidnapped. And they were carting him around. And kidnappers learned it's best make it real quick. 24 hours, 20,000, or we kill him. But they were carting him around. A lot of people get caught that way. But he had a vision of heaven. And they're getting ready. They're having him dig his own grave. And while he's there, he's praising the Lord. And he's seeing glory before him, and he starts shoveling as fast as he can to dig his grave because he's ready to go. He sees where he's going. And it was so pronounced and the presence of God on him that the captors, you know, they're in complete amazement. What is this guy doing? He was ready to go. And again, we realize our life here is so short. It's so brief. We have to have the heart for the journey. We see the destiny because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our destiny sealed is heaven. The presence of God forever and ever. That's what we're moving towards. Meanwhile, our covenant gives us all that we would need while we're going on through here. And we continue to draw upon the presence of God forever.